There are three very short scripture readings for today. Polly will go first with the one from, actually it's from Isaiah chapter 4, no, it's from Psalm 42, verse 11. There's a misprint in the bulletin there. It's from Psalm 42, verse 11.
Why are you cast down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
And the second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, just verses 32 through 33. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. And the last scripture is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23.
Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, recently when we had the storms, the snow and the rain, gosh, what didn't we have lately? If you're a weatherman, you could have predicted anything and waited a little while, and then you could have gone on TV and said, well, I was right. Had a little bit of everything. But one of the things that happens when they say snow's coming and there's a run on the grocery store, and then lots of times they'll have a picture on the TV showing how the shelves are empty. There's a mad rush to get bread or milk or what have you. But I got some good news for you. In God's grocery store, he's got enough hope for everybody. And you know, I think that in essence, that's really what I want to talk about today. And I've saved this message for the last, the concluding message in this 8 series on lessons learned. Because this last one is about hope. I think that's what the gospel is all about. And here's basically the message for today. We can have hope for tomorrow because we know one day God will make all things right. Hang on to that. But if you don't remember anything else, just go back to that, because that is the message. Tony Campolo is a wonderful pastor and preacher and also a professor. He heard a sermon one time called, It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming. It was one of those sermons which, well, if you hear a sermon that you really like the first time, you can preach it, but you need to say, that sermon was by Reverend Brown. If you preach it again, then you can say, this sermon was by a famous pastor or preacher. The third time, it's yours. And so he's been preaching that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming for a very long time. But he's actually shared the story that he got it from someone else. But I love that sermon. And don't worry, I'm not going to preach it to you right now, but I'm going to tell you about what it's about, because it's about hope. He heard a pastor one time serving in a hard place with people whose life was difficult. And he started out simply by saying, it's Friday in our life. It's like the crucifixion. Jesus is on the cross. It's Friday. Look around. It's a Good Friday world. It seems that the wrong is winning and overcoming the good in this world. And our Savior is on a cross, and our hopes are all dashed. And he talked about how the struggles we have in our life and the problems that we have. And then he says, I'm telling you the truth. It can be hard in your life right now and in the world right now. But I'm also going to tell you this. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And Sunday is the resurrection. You know, that's why we can always have hope for tomorrow. Because we know that ultimately God will make all things right. And that's what the Christian story is about. Is that on that Easter Sunday when God raised Jesus from the dead, he made all things right for the world. But we know that ultimately God will make all things right again on earth. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And so we kind of continue to live in a world of Good Fridays. And some days we wake up and we say, wow, it's Friday. There's a struggle going on, but Sunday is still on the way. Julian of Norwich was a mystic, lived in 14th century England. She was an anchoress. She lived as a mystic, lived in a little room connected to a cathedral. She gave counseling to people who would come by who struggled with different things. There was a plague going on in England. It was terrible. It killed thousands of people. It was a very, very hard time for them. But she had some mystic visions during a time of her illness when she faced death for herself. And this the mystic vision that she had was the loving face of Jesus Christ who was with her. And she took that vision and she began to share this simple saying, all will be well, and all will be well, and all manner of things will be well, because in the end, love will end. Now, it didn't change the outward circumstances at that particular time, but you know what it did change? It changed despair. And people were able to have hope. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful prayer. I remember many years ago when I was facing something in my life. I just got down a piece of paper and a pen, and I was struggling with something. And I just said, well, you know, Lord, if not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, if not the tomorrow, then the next day. If not the next day, then someday. But one day I know that I will be well. You know, that's kind of an adaptation of her prayer. And in the ministry, it seems that lately I've been able to use that prayer not only for myself, but with other persons. I'm able to use it in confidence because I believe it. It's a wonderful prayer. You know, we did a series several months ago on the will of God. Leslie Weatherhead was a pastor in London during World War II, and he preached a series of messages called The Will of God. There was the intentional will of God, what God desired for creation in the beginning. Because of man's sin, there was a frustration of God's will. So then he had the circumstantial will, God's response to what we had done to deter his will. And circumstantial will is what God does in response to what we have done. And that was why he sent Jesus. And because he sent Jesus, we know that there is an ultimate will. That ultimately things will be the way He designed them to be, a new heaven and a new earth. And so I guess that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how we need to keep before us the big picture that the ultimate will of God will be done, which is good. We're talking about how ultimately God will make all things right. And because we know that ultimately God will make all things right, we of all people can live with hope. Now, if you're going through something now or in the days ahead, and by the way, I heard a pastor say, and again, I'm borrowing this, I heard a pastor say that we're all going through something right now, or we're coming out of something, or we're getting ready to go into something. But sooner or later, you're always in something. And what I want to say is that if you're going through something right now, keep in mind these three things, and they're from the Scriptures. Very, very, very quickly. I want you to remember these three things. I think they'll help you because they help me. First one is from the Psalms, Psalm 42. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet again praise Him, my help and my God. The wonderful thing about growing older is that you have a memory. And because you have a memory, you can remember how you've gone through tough times in the past. And because you've gone through tough times in the past, you can remind yourself that tough times don't last. And that you will be able to praise God again, even if you don't feel like it right now. I like to use the analogy of using sports. Look, all athletes are sooner or later get injured. And sooner or later, they're on the sidelines. But they don't despair because they know that with the proper treatment, the proper conditioning and attention given to them, you know what? They'll be back on the field again. They will yet be on the field again. I like that analogy because I've played sports. But in life, we need to remind ourselves that even if we don't feel like praising God today, hope in God, for we shall yet again praise Him. And if you have a memory, you'll know how that proved itself to be true. The psalmist said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You remember the nights when the tears came, but then you also remember the morning when the joy came. And you know, it's so true in our life. Remember those times, because we will yet again praise God. Hope thou in God. The second thing is this: when you're going through something, guard against false expectations of how long it's going to take. And that's why I chose the scripture from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 33. Jesus was talking about when he would come back again, and he said, look, no one is going to know the hour. So just keep alert, keep awake. Well, that is so important. In Ken Collins' book, Good to Great, he tells the story about Jim Stockdale, who was the highest ranking officer to be captured during Vietnam and to serve time in prisoner of war camp. He was there from 65 to 73. All those years, he was locked up. And they talked with him about his time of a prisoner of war. And here's what he had to say. I believed that ultimately I would be out of the prisoner of war camp. He said, I believed that ultimately I would be able, with God's help, to prevail and outlast this. And I had hope that eventually I would be home again with my family and my friends and my loved ones. I had hope. And then they asked him, well, how were you able to sustain that hope for all those many years? And he said, because I had the right kind of hope. And what he meant by that was, he said, you know, I didn't live with false optimism. He said that he noted that a lot of the prisoners began to think, we're going to be out by Thanksgiving. We're going to be out by Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving came, and no one was out. We're going to be out by Christmas. We're going to be out by Christmas. And Christmas came, and they were still there. We're going to be out by the first of the year. And you get my drift, don't you? He said, he just chalked it up to saying, at the right time, whenever that time is, I'll be out. But he guarded against false optimism. He faced what he called the brutal facts. He acknowledged that he didn't know, and therefore he would have to trust God. And so when we're going through something, guard against false optimism. Face the brutal facts. Look at the condition the way it is. But yet we can look at the condition the way it is, because we know that ultimately, in God's time, if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the next day, if not the next day, someday, but one day. And I always add to this, either on earth or in heaven, all will be well. And I believe that. And I walked into some places where some bad things have happened, and sometimes the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut and just sit and cry with people. But then when the time comes when they want you to say something, when they want you to speak, you've got to be very careful what you say. But I can always say this with confidence. One day God is going to make it right. One day He's going to make it right. Nothing is ultimately going to frustrate God's will. But yes, today may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. And that's how we live. So, whatever you go through, guard against false optimism. Jim Stockdale just determined in his heart to guard against false optimism. The third thing to do is simply this. In Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23, it talks about, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith, for God you know, who has promised, is faithful. But if you read the next verse, 24th verse after that, it talked about how, let us not forsake the assembling of together in worship, and in spurring one another on for good works. That's the third point about how to go through tough times and how to sustain your faith. Is don't forsake the assembling together in worship and getting together in, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't forsake the time of coming together and spurring one another on for good works. Don't forsake that. What that really has to do is with our spiritual disciplines. Don't forget the time of prayer. Don't forget the time of coming together, worshiping together. Don't forget the time of your spiritual disciplines of searching the scriptures, meeting God, whether it's in nature or where, what have you. But especially don't forsake the coming together as the body of Christ to worship. Because this is how we can hold on. Because every Sunday that we meet is a little Easter. And when we come here, we hold fast to the confession of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. You know, we say that at communion, but basically what we're about is proclaiming that every week that we gather. We hold fast to our confession, and we do not forsake the assembling together, and we continue to spur one another on for good works, which basically means while we're waiting, we're worshiping. While we're waiting, we're serving. While we're waiting, we're praying. While we're waiting, we're doing significant work for the Lord. Well, finally, I want to say this about hope. The reason that I can say that I believe we can have hope for tomorrow is because our hope is in a person, not in a circumstance or in an event. It's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. For several years, I've spent a lot of time studying Job. Matter of fact, I thought that was going to be the story I was going to do my dissertation on until my advisor said, no, you can't do that. Job is so complex, it's over your head. I thought, wow, wait, that's pretty good. And then the funny thing about that was she is the co-editor of the Women's Biblical Commentary. And she was doing a commentary on the book of Job. She sent me her draft and wanted me to preview it and see what I thought. I thought about writing back. How am I to know? It's over my head. But I was still having to work with her. So I said, this looks good. This looks really good. But I tell you what, she wrote a great commentary. But I'm so glad I spent all those years with Job. There was a purpose in it. And I won't go into all the little details, but right now I just want to say this. Job said something that told me he knew how to hold on to the confession of his faith. Because after God had those whirlwind speeches at the end, in the 42nd chapter of Job, as soon as Job opened his mouth, here's what he said. I know that you can do all things. And that no purpose of yours can ultimately be thwarted. Wow. That says it all. And you know, in the book of Job, his fortunes were reversed. You know, he had his fortunes reversed insofar as they could be reversed. But you know what? Suppose that story would have turned out differently and his fortunes weren't reversed. What would Job have said then? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that thou can do all things and that no purpose of yours can ultimately be thwarted. Why? Because his hope was in a person. And that's where our hope is in a person. He lived our life and died our death and rose for our sake. You know, when I do a funeral, usually I'll have Revelation in there. Revelation chapter 21 verses 1 through 7. Not always, but I like to have it in there when I can. And here's why. There's a couple of verses in there that are so meaningful to me. And it fits where we are, where we're at right now, because our hope is in a person. This is what we can say, even at a time of death. He will wipe away all tears. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the former things have passed away. And the one who was seated upon the throne said to me, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And those who conquer will inherit these things. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Do you believe it? I believe it. You know, Adam Hamilton was asked one time after an Easter service, and you know, you really need to ask your preacher, do you really believe this stuff? And a parishioner asked him, do you really believe in Easter? And here's what he said, and I'm going to copy Adam, but I'm going to give him credit. I not only believe it, I'm counting on it. Because if not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then the next day. If not the next day, then someday. But one day, either on earth or in heaven, God will make all things right. As we conclude, what about those things in your life that you need hope for? With a word, we can sustain the weary. With a prayer, we can lift you up. Polly and I will be here to pray with you about any particular need you have, but we also have Stephen ministers who will greet you over here at the celebration station, pray with you after the service. And let me encourage you, have hope. Let us stand.